Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. The great one, Mark Levin, joins the program about his new book, The Democrat Party Hates America. You should all purchase a copy. And then Julie Kelly joins us to react Merrick Garland, January 6th, and Ray Epps. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's most important student movement, at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is the great one, Mark Levin. Mark, thank you for taking the time. I have to say your book right here, The Democrat Party Hates America, is a noteworthy, remarkable, and impressive accomplishment, Mark. The footnotes alone could be its own book. Mark, congratulations, and please introduce the book to our audience.
First of all, thank you, Charlie, for all your support all the time. You're a beacon of liberty out there, my brother.
Thank you.
Well, I decided to put the title on this book when I finished it. Let's look around today, even before we get into any history or background on the Democrat Party Hates America. You look at the border, you look at our value of our currency, you look at what's going on in our classrooms, you look what's going on in our courtrooms, you look what's going on with the price of fuel and soon to be the elimination of the combustion engine. You look at what's going on in the streets, particularly in our inner cities, where people are being mugged, raped, and brutalized and murdered with very little consequence. And I can go on and on and on. This is the news that we're faced with almost every day. This is what you, Charlie, and I have to deal with almost every day when we talk about it. This is what the American people see every day. Well, these aren't natural disasters. Somebody's causing all these things to happen. So who's causing all these things to happen? It's man-made. Who are these men? What's the Democrat Party behind every single one of these? And when you go back in history, the Democrat Party has never accepted America and Americanism. It's never accepted the Declaration of Independence. It doesn't even accept it today. Never accepts the Constitution. It is rewriting our history about our founding. It's done this before. So we have a party that was the party of the Confederacy, the party of slavery, the party of segregation, the party of eugenics, the party of the Klan, the party of lynching. And all of a sudden, it keeps attacking the American history. That's their history.
Yes.
It's not America's history. It's their history. And then today, of course, they are also attacking America. But like good chameleons, they've shifted the way they do it. So whereas they used to be the party of anti-Black racism, now they're the party of anti-white racism. Why? Because they don't like white people. Well, many of these are white people because they're Marxists.
Yes.
So in order to attack the very founding of the nation, which was founded largely by white people and Europeans, you need to attack that. So
yes,
you have the 1619 Project. You have critical race theory. You have monuments being pulled down. You have all these things going on because the goal now is to destroy the connection of the American people with their history, the destruction of the American culture, and so forth and so on. So you got to look at the Democrat Party through the lens of power, their power, because the Democrat Party, Charlie, is not a typical political party. It's an autocratic entity.
Yes.
That doesn't seek to win elections. It seeks to control elections, control the outcome of elections, to diminish the viability of any opposition parties or any opposition of any kind. And so this book gets very deep into the history, as you know. It's very hard to do an interview or answer an interview on this book because it is so comprehensive.
It is comprehensive. It is.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time, Mark, flipping through it. I want to just isolate one sentence that I think is super powerful. Page 23 of The Democrat Party Hates America. The Democrat Party has evolved into an anti-American political and cultural entity. It's an institutional home for the Marxist ideology in its Americanized forms. Mark, part of the challenge I have with people that have a muscle memory of a past that no longer exists, 1980s, 1990s, it's hard, Mark, for some people I talk to, for them to believe that the leading American political party that controls the White House and the United States Senate and all the bureaucracies has contempt for the country they govern. That's why I think your book is so important, Mark. It really challenges limiting beliefs. You do it in a fabulous way. But I want to just isolate. This is a party that has bitterness towards what you and I love. This is no longer a policy debate. We want different things, Mark Levin.
100%. It always amazes when people say to me, well, can't we get something going here, the bipartisan? I don't know. Should we have done something bipartisan with the Confederacy? Some things are right and some things are wrong. When people are, as they say, they use the phrase fundamentally transforming America, shouldn't we believe them? When one of the leading Democrat lights in the Democrat Party is a Marxist by the name of Bernie Sanders, shouldn't we understand that? When 10 to 15% of the Democrat caucus in the House of Representatives are Marxists, shouldn't we accept that and have to deal with it? So what I've tried to do in this book is rather than deal with the ephemeral or the ambiguous, it's to put a label on it. American Marxism sort of set the stage. But the fact of the matter is we have a political entity, which is more than a party. It's your typical autocratic party. That wants to do what? That wants to devour this society. That wants to replace the country. They want allegiance to the party, not to the country. They don't give a damn about the country. Your fuel prices, the open border, elections. They have a fourth branch of government that they've created with some help of Republicans, but it's their government.
Yep.
Which issues more regulations and laws than Congress ever could. We don't even have a representative republic anymore. You know, you and I, we're not asking members of Congress to eliminate the incandescent light bulb because apparently it kills people. They're going through our homes. They're eliminating all kinds of appliances. Any government that has the power to eliminate a light bulb has no limits on its power. And so what this party does is every waking hour of its leadership is to try and destroy the status quo, destroy our traditions, destroy our customs.
Yes.
Destroy real law and order, particularly in our communities, as they empower and centralize the police state. If people want to really understand, let me just say this to you, Charlie. There was a great review done by Thomas Lifson of the American Thinker, founder of the American Thinker. Mm-hmm. He's a very bright guy, intellectual guy. And he said, you know, for most of my life, I was a Democrat as an adult. And then I decided they don't really represent me. He said, so I couldn't support them anymore. He said, now that I've read your book, I am ashamed of myself. How the hell could I have ever voted for any of these people or supported any of these people? And when people read this book, as you know, Charlie, they're going to find out the truth about this party.
Yes.
They're going to find out the truth about their great hero, Franklin Roosevelt, who was a bigot, racist, and an anti-Semite, just as they have Woodrow Wilson.
Really bad guy.
Horrendous. And yet, he's one of the great so-called intellectuals
behind
the progressive era, as you know. And he resegregates the military, he resegregates the federal bureaucracy. He's the one with the 1917 Espionage Act that, of course, the Democrats have dusted off and are now using against President Trump, as well as the Klan Act that they've dusted off and they're using that. These are those are their laws. Those are the laws that they've always used to repress people. But you're going to learn a lot, like in the case of FDR, that he had a federal anti-lynching bill come to his desk in 1940. That's just 83 years ago. And he wouldn't sign it because he wanted to run for a third term as president. He was afraid he would offend Southern racists and segregationists. He refused to invite Jesse Owens in 1936 after the Berlin Olympics. All the white Olympians were invited. Jesse Owens wasn't. Jesse Owens was asked, did Hitler snub you? And he says, I never met Hitler. He didn't snub me. FDR snubbed me. And he supported FDR's opponent. Joe Louis, the great boxer. When FDR decided not to sign that anti-lynching bill, he voted Republican. He wanted nothing to do with FDR. FDR, as the people watching will soon learn, didn't lift a finger for the black community. He didn't lift a finger for the Jewish community in the middle of the Holocaust. As a matter of fact, FDR did not want black journalists at his press conference. He refused to talk to the NAACP. They set up the Federal Housing Authority in 1936, the first big program of the New Deal. And he, the New Deal, they decided that they would help subsidize mortgages because people were losing their homes. I'm just giving a few examples, Charlie. And what happened? Well, they decided that there would be no subsidies to black communities or communities around black communities. So what they did, Charlie, is they took a red marker with these maps of the country and they circled these communities and they called it redlining. And that's where we get redlining from, the New Deal. And the more people learn the truth about the Democrat Party and unravel what's taken place, the more they will understand how diabolical and anti-American it is and that it's not your typical party. And I start the book off explaining that this party is really an outrageous entity that rejects everything American. And among other things, censorship, a state-run party, that's what I call the Democrat Party, the monopoly party in this country, and it is, needs a state-run media. All totalitarian regimes, authoritarian regimes, they need to control what is said to the people. They need to control the language. Lenin said the language needs to be changed to accommodate the needs and desires of the party. You see that taking place in this country today? So I take all these puzzle pieces that we're experiencing today. I look out over the horizon of the history of the Democrat Party, which has never accepted this country, ever.
Yes.
And its principle. And I put the book together, and that's what it's about.
They never have. The Democrat Party hasn't changed because one of the lies they have is the switch, Mark, is that somehow the party switched, that, oh, the Democrats became Republicans and the Republicans became Democrats. They have an uninterrupted line of controlling people from slavery to the Ku Klux Klan and segregation to government addiction and benefits. They are not about liberation. They're not about flourishing. They're not about freedom of speech. They are at odds with the promise of a free society. Mark, just plug the audience where people can find the book, the most helpful place for you to get the book, The Democrat Party Hates America.
Well, there's 500,000 copies of this book floating around America. Any retail store that sells books, whether they're bookstores or whether they're warehouse stores, have plenty of the books. Amazon.com, of course, you can order directly online. So it shouldn't be hard to find the book unless some clerk is hiding it in the back.
Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example, Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, and financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Download the app now. Download the Public Square app now. You can also go to publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine. 100% behind him. Check it out today. So, Mark, if we were to do a deal with somebody, and you touched on this a little bit, and you know that the other team is negotiating in bad faith, there's no deal. It's dead on arrival. And yet, time and time again, we hear about bipartisanship and unification. You notice the Democrat Party never wants bipartisanship. They want power and they want control. We're the only side that wants to, quote unquote, work with both sides. And you summarize it beautifully here, piece by piece, whether it be about crime, their bad history, whether it be about critical race theory and their implementation of it. Their motives are flawed, which I think is one of the most powerful parts of what you summarize here. And Mark, if I go through kind of the sequence of your books, you know, Liberty and Tyranny, and then, of course, Rediscovering America, Unfreedom of the Press, American Marxism, it all just kind of led to this book. Talk about that, Mark, because they all play together very, very beautifully.
Well, that is a great question. I got to thinking about After American Marxism, actually, after I finished writing it. There's something missing here. I can't write books that are 1,000 pages long, because all they'll do is turn out to be good doorstops, because nobody's going to read a book that long, including me. So I said, I need to take the next step here. Who's responsible for these things? And it's the Democrat Party. As pathetic as the Republican Party is in so many ways, the Republican Party isn't leading an effort to overturn the government. The Republican Party was not the party of slavery. The Republican Party wasn't blocking little black kids from going to school with little white kids. The Republican Party isn't trying to degrowth our economy so people are impoverished with the price of fuel, the price of food, and so forth and so on. And you can go on and on and on. The Republican Party gets votes because it's a default party, if you will. People say, I don't want to vote for these Democrats, so I'll vote Republican. They don't really know what the Republican Party stands for. Maybe that'll be another book for another day. But in this case, the monopoly party is the Democrat Party, and they know exactly what they want to do. And they are in a sprint right now to destroy separation of powers, balances and checks between the branches. In other words, to destroy the constitutional republic. They are lording over us. They are reigning over us by executive order and bureaucratic fiat, so we can't really reach those decisions as a people. They are packing the courts right now with radical left-wing bomb throwers, which is why they seek to pack the Supreme Court, and one day likely will. They want to eliminate the filibusters, so even when they win one election, they can make permanent changes to the country, because they know that's not how the Republicans roll. The borders are wide open, creating mayhem for the migrants, destroying the interior of the United States. People are losing their lives as a result of fentanyl. Women are being sexually abused. Children are being sold into sex slavery. Mother Nature didn't do any of this. Mother Biden and the Democrat Party have done all of this. I would challenge people who are watching this, make a list of all the worst things today that are happening in the country. And who's behind it? Who's responsible for it? Is it a coincidence that they're all happening at once? Or is it a intent? Now, many of these things could be stopped if the Democrat Party wanted to stop them. Mm-hmm. But they don't. As for the Republicans you mentioned, particularly in the Senate, they're placeholders. They haven't done a damn thing. And they're not going to, as long as they have McConnell and the other Republicans leading them. They don't know what they stand for. They're there because they're lazy and they're comfortable. And maybe they've got their special interests to support the next election. But they have absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
Let me just read some of these chapter titles in Mark Levin's new book. Anti-white racism and anti-Semitism, language control and thought control, war on the American citizen, war on the nuclear family, war on the Constitution, Stalin would be proud. So, Mark, based on all the research you've done, you know, a decade of writing about this and decades of talking about these Marxists and these Leninists, how do we beat them? What are the marching orders for our troops, for our students watching, for the people in the audience to defeat a party that hates the country that they're overseeing?
It's a great question, too. What is Marxism? Marxism was an idea. What is the Declaration? Basically, it was ideas that were written about by John Locke. What about our Constitution? Where does it get its ideas from, the founders? From Montesquieu, three branches of government and so forth. So what am I trying to say? You have Thomas Paine, who really lit a fire under the Revolution. Ideas do have consequences, bad ideas and good ideas. The more people who learn, particularly young people in colleges and universities, but all people, what a diabolical and evil entity the Democrat Party is, the more we are able to explain its real history rather than the propaganda that it has built up, a cocoon, if you will, of deceit and lies and demagoguery, until we can pierce that, educate ourselves, inform our fellow citizens, our family members, neighbors, friends, colleagues, fellow students, whomever they are. Just say, read this. Read this, read this, read this. I think the more people who turn on the Democrat Party will be a result in which we can eventually destroy the value, the strength of this party as the monopoly party, which it is today, and get back to business, our own lives, and having a limited government and so forth. There's not going to be one simple thing we can do. But there's one simple thing we cannot do, Charlie. If we lose the next presidential election, despite their best efforts to destroy Donald Trump, or for that matter, anybody who steps up and challenges them, it is going to be not only much more difficult, but perhaps impossible to claw our way back. That's where we are today.
I totally agree. And I want to just, for the audience, what gives you hope on the horizon right now, Mark? What are you seeing in the country with the ordinary citizen, the parents at school boards? What is giving you hope that we can defeat these Marxists?
Well, how do you know I have hope that we can? See, I don't look at things that way. I tell my audience, fight like hell. Everybody else can think about hope. When I get calls, when people say, what can we do? I always say, it's not about we. What are you going to do? What are you going to do after this call into my radio show? To spread the word of liberty, to challenge tyranny, whether it's a small role or a big role. I can't look at parents at a school board meeting or people yelling at AOC and believe, okay, great, the American people have awakened. It's not a matter of the American people awakening. I don't know if they've awakened or not. I've been involved in the Tea Party movement, the Reagan Revolution, all these different efforts that are underway. So I don't want to create a Pollyanna situation. I say this to people. When you're fighting a military battle, it's not, I'm just saying, what gives you hope? It is, we have to defeat these bastards. So fight, fight, fight. Never give up. And if we win, then I've got a lot of hope. But on the other hand, I'm not deluding myself either.
And part of it is you must know your enemy. You must know that they intimidate you, they smear you, they slander you, they have the media on their side. But I believe this is winnable. That's one of the things I do want to make sure we communicate, Mark. Again, I'm not trying to get into the gambling odds here of, oh, are we the favorite or the underdog? Look, they control everything. But you have a moral obligation to fight. And they've been fighting and taking over institutions for 30, for 40, for 50 years. Your reaction, Mark?
100% correct. We have men and women who've put their lives on the line since the founding of this country in order to actually establish this country. The least we can do is something in our lives and in our roles to spread the word, to push back. Just look at your kids and your grandkids. Do you really want to surrender them to the teachers' unions? Do you really want to surrender your liberty to the Democrat Party? Do you really want to destroy citizenship? And you can go on and on and on. So the issue isn't what we can do. The issue is, what are you going to do in your lives to make a difference? At a minimum, we should all be Thomas Paine's and Paul Revere's, at a minimum. And that'll make a difference.
I'm going to read here, Mark, and we'll just close it up. The Democrat Party stands, this is the last part of the book, stands for the relentless pursuit of power and control. America was founded on the principle of individual and human liberty and the dispersion of political and governmental power. The Roman Republic lasted 482 years. Our republic is only 247 years old. If the Democrat Party succeeds, the American experiment will have failed. Summarize it all, Mark. Couldn't have the stakes any higher.
Because the Democrat Party is the enemy of the people. Because the Democrat Party is about empowering itself. The Democrat Party is about replacing the government as the power center and crushing anything that stands in its way. It does not believe in free speech because there is nothing but conformity that's required to get to the promised land. You're not allowed to challenge its ideas. They will crush dissent, as they have with censorship, as they have, quite frankly, with the FBI and the Department of Justice, going after pro-life groups and parents. The tyranny is here. The question now is, what are we going to do about it? And there's many civil, legitimate things that we can do, first and foremost, where we can still communicate with each other. Please, let's do it. There's tens of millions of us. We're an army of tens of millions of people. We change the way people view the greatest enemy we face, which isn't communist China. That's the second greatest enemy we face. It's the Democrat Party that can do more damage to this country and has than any other entity on the face of the earth.
When we realize that the greatest enemy is the political party that controls the government, we're going to make real progress. The great one, Mark Levin. Thank you, Mark. We're behind you 100%. Everyone buy his book, The Democrat Party Hates America. Thank you.
Charlie, God bless. Take care of yourself, buddy.
Thank you. See you soon. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. And like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing. And look, I had some complicated stuff. Don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage-related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer, renting, and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests. She has been ahead of the curve on almost everything. A lot of people make predictions, and a lot of people have a lot of bluster, and they're wrong. Julie has been right, and I say this very carefully, about everything. Julie, welcome back.
Charlie, I tell my husband this all the time. Can you just send him a little note?
Yes,
Julie,
I will.
Julie is right all the time.
I will say Julie Thanks. Kelly is right about everything. I'm sure that'll be very helpful to the health of your marriage. So Julie, you've made these predictions. You kind of saw this ahead of time. Again, a lot of these other people were saying this stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense. You know, if people would come on the show, oh, Trump's never getting indicted. I guarantee it takes to the bank. A bunch of garbage. So let's talk about Ray Epps. Like, I don't want to get sued, okay? That's not fun. What do we know about Ray Epps? He's now indicted, but it seems as if it's like a kid glove indictment, whereas other indictments, this only, I think, makes me more suspicious about something. Maybe special deal, carve out. What are we to make of this, Julie?
So, not to correct, but just because I want to emphasize how dubious and sketchy this whole thing is, it's not even an indictment. It's an information, which is the misdemeanor version of a criminal federal indictment. And in this information, he gets away with one really low-level disorderly conduct charge. So I have said, I know you and I have talked about this, and I have said this on Twitter, and I'll say it regardless if Ray Epps wants to sue me or not. If the law was being applied equally, Ray Epps would be facing a multi-count felony criminal indictment. He would not just be facing this information with a low-level misdemeanor. He would too be charged with obstruction of an official proceeding, which is a common felony count that has been applied to more than 300 J6 defendants, including President Trump. He would face conspiracy to obstruct because he was in cahoots with people. He was there that night trying to get people to go to the Capitol. He whispered in the ear of Ryan Samsel right before that first exterior breach happened, when Ryan Samsel knocked over those metal bike racks and then led this group up the stairs to the west side of the Capitol. That group included Ray Epps. Ray Epps was in a restricted area interfering with law enforcement, another common felony count, for over an hour that day. So the fact that he is getting away with not just this low-level misdemeanor, but Charlie, the fact that this was announced yesterday and he's pleading guilty already today, this is the quickest resolution I've seen in more than 1,100 pending or settled January 6th cases. So this still stinks to high heaven and is going to do nothing satisfy or answer questions that we still have about Ray Epps and other uncharged agitators involved in January 6th.
So did he go into the Capitol? I don't think he did, right?
He did not.
So, but there's other people that did not go into the Capitol that have been charged severely, that were on the steps. But the biggest part that if they wanted to isolate, which again, they get whatever they want, right? I mean, unfortunately, it's a totally rigged deal, is that he is on camera, you could say inciting, encouraging. You could even, with an aggressive prosecutor, go as far, because they've made this argument, to say that he was planning, that he was orchestrating, conspiring. Enrique Tarrio is not even someone who was in D.C. and they charged him for planning. Why wouldn't they get the field marshal, the guy that's like calling shots, the field general? It doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. And to your point, Enrique Tarrio was in Baltimore on January 6th. Ray Epps did far more to agitate the crowd, to direct people to the Capitol, to interfere with law enforcement. He was involved in that first exterior breach. He was involved in the second exterior breach. Look, I've been in courtrooms when I've seen the government prosecutors detail these breach points, use this as incriminating evidence, including for those who didn't go inside the building. So the fact that you have a key instigator, an individual who was there at those key moments. Furthermore, not only was he just there, he was part of this mob. This is how DOJ and judges describe it, part of a mob that prompted the joint session of Congress to recess. He was there at 10 minutes to one. Joint session convened at 1 o'clock. He was there until after the joint session was recessed based on what was happening outside and inside the building. If anyone is right for the obstruction of an official proceeding felony, it's Ray Epps. So the question for Merrick Garland and Matthew Graves, the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, is why he doesn't face that count when more than 320 defendants have been slapped with that felony, including Donald Trump, and has resulted in years in prison and pretrial detention. Yet Ray Epps has walked around as a free man, now has a slap on the wrist. His case is already settled as of today, and now all we wait is for the sentencing recommendation from DOJ.
So why, let me just reiterate this, and I want you to then get into speculation, again, speculation for everyone watching out there. Shouldn't have, first of all, anyone who didn't go into the Capitol just get this charge? I mean, that should have been the standard if that's there. So then Ray Epps, one of the most wanted individuals, gets downgraded to nothing. So then what is the explanation here, Julie? What is the possible reason for this?
The only possible reason is that they are protecting him for some reason, that if they did charge him with these felony counts, that maybe he would flip or he would come forward and explain his role, who he was there working for. Things just do not add up in his case. Recall, he told the January 6th committee, where they produced some of his text, he texted his nephew at around 2:30 on January 6th with a text, "I orchestrated it." So he was bragging about his involvement. Well, what did he orchestrate? He didn't orchestrate calming down the police, because he certainly didn't. He was there throughout the initial assault that police officers unleashed against protesters on that west side of the building. You can see him interacting with police officers. That has caused the indictment of several January 6th defendants, including those who didn't go inside of the building. When you talk about the Proud Boys, or you talk about someone like Ryan Samsel, who, by the way, he never went in the building either, yet he has been in jail since January 2021, still awaiting trial. His trial is finally scheduled for next month, which could be another reason, Charlie, why they finally charged Ray Epps with this single misdemeanor. I have no doubt that the defense in Ryan Samsel's case will call Ray Epps as a witness and force him to say on the stand what he did whisper in Ryan Samsel's ear before he knocked down those initial bike racks. There are conflicting accounts of what Ray Epps said. Ryan Samsel told me something different than what he told the FBI in his initial interview. This has been a really unresolved piece of what the opening salvo for January 6th. And so this could be a way to protect him from, you know, taking the stand in that case next month. But it certainly does not do what the corporate media said yesterday, and that is exonerate Ray Epps and prove that he is a victim of right-wing conspiracy theorists like me and Tucker Carlson and others who have questioned the role of Ray Epps and why he remained uncharged almost 3 years later.
So, Julie, plug your book. It's more timely than ever. And then I want to talk about Merrick Garland. I know that's going to be in real time. I just want to get your some reaction to it, because the craven, vengeful AG is testifying as we do this conversation. Please plug your book.
Thanks, Charlie. So it's called January 6th, How Democrats Used the Capitol Protests to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. And of course, all my reporting and work can be found at my Substack, Declassified with Julie Kelly. And I post a lot of breaking news on Twitter, as you know, Julie_Kelly too.
They being the regime, saw January 6th as 9/11 2.0 as a way to launch a war against the political right. Instead of a war on Al-Qaeda, instead of a war on ISIS, it's MAGA. It's anyone who believes in conservative values. And it is underway. And boy, I do not see enough fight from congressional Republicans to fight against it.
On January 5th and January 6th, and agitating in the crowd to go into the Capitol, and how many went into the Capitol? Can you answer that now?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, last time, you don't know how many there were or there were none?
I don't know the answer to either of those questions. If there were any, I don't know how many. I don't know whether there are any.
Julie Kelly, what are we to make of that?
It just defies belief that you have the Attorney General in what is the DOJ considers comparable to 9/11, Pearl Harbor, the Boston Marathon bombing, real legitimate terror attacks, and he can't answer basic questions. As I said, not just that House Republicans want answers to, but the American people, because they recognize now that what they thought they saw on January 6th that afternoon was not legitimate, that there were so many government agencies, federal and local, who were involved weeks before, FBI informants, undercover agents from the Metropolitan Police Department, plainclothes officers with Capitol Police, undercover Secret Service, undercover Park Police. You even had the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia at the time, Michael Sherman, walking around in street clothes like he was an undercover agent. So it begs the question that we've asked over and over, if you had all of this intelligence, if you had all these undercover agents and FBI informants working with these alleged militia groups months before and on the ground with them on January 6th, how did this insurrection still happen? And Merrick Garland, again, tap dancing around serious questions. I really commend Representative Massey, not just for calling him out, but also continuing to drill down in the issue of the pipe bomber and why that still is unsolved. It seems to have no interest by FBI investigators or DOJ. Certainly the corporate media has completely lost interest in that as well.
They have completely lost interest. And I mean, Merrick Garland is lying. Of course he knows. I mean, he doesn't feel as if there's any way to hold him accountable. So I want everyone to just understand this. So if Merrick Garland lies to Congress, who then indicts Merrick Garland? Oh, Merrick Garland. What a joke of a system that this has become with the fourth branch of government. He has the criminal. He has to criminally refer himself. Let's play cut 51, please.
Have you had personal contact with anyone at FBI headquarters about the Hunter Biden investigation?
I don't recollect the answer to that question, but the FBI works for the Justice Department. I'm sorry.
You don't recollect whether you've talked with anybody at FBI headquarters about an investigation of the president's son?
I don't believe that I did.
So, Julie, he knows the rules. Bad memory is the way to get out of these things, right? It is the cheap man's federal bureaucrat equivalent, the deep state tactic to plead the fifth. Julie Kelly.
That's right. It's hard to believe, given what we now know by these brave whistleblowers and the lawyers who are representing them, how closely in cahoots the DOJ was with Hunter Biden's attorneys. And in fact, I believe it was Congressman Chip Roy who just asked Mayor Garland, is it normal for tax matters, tax investigation, potential tax charge to be discussed at Maine Justice? Which we know happened with Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco's, one of her deputies, talking, meeting directly with Hunter Biden's attorneys before this plea deal was announced. And of course, he danced around that answer as well, because the answer is no. If we got charged with tax crimes and we were working with whoever, the IRS or DOJ, we certainly would not be given a meeting in Washington, D.C. with a top DOJ official to iron out whatever plea deal we wanted to negotiate. So he knows, just like everyone, right-thinking Americans know, this was a sweetheart deal. Hunter Biden got away with this for years, that people like David Weiss and others dragged their feet on this. And then finally, when it was presented to Biden appointed U.S. attorneys, Matthew Graves and the one in Central California, they both declined to prosecute. And of course, the statute of limitations on Hunter's 2014 and 2015 tax matters has already expired.
Julie Kelly, wonderful job. You're welcome anytime. And just tell your husband, Charlie Kirk says, I'm always right. Great.
I will. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.